Okay, so we're in Maseches Challah, the first parak, the last Mishnah, Mishnah Tes. This Mishnah is great because it's going to be a chazara for us on really the whole of Maseches Truma in one fell swoop. So basically, it's going to tell us that the dinim of Challah and Truma are the same because the dinim, the halachas that apply to Challah will be the same as the halachas that we are used to with Truma because Challah is called Truma in the Pasuk. Actually, three times. So we're going to essentially say that I'll summarize the Mishnah. Whatever applies to Truma applies to Challah, which is essentially true. But we're now going to go through the different things one at a time, which we're not going to rush, so everyone can get a good review of Truma and how it worked. So it says the Challah v'Truma. When it comes to Challah or when it comes to Truma, the same dinim apply. First of all, Chayav Nalein Misa. If you eat them. Challah or Truma, it's the same thing. And you eat them purposefully, so then, intentionally, I should say, so then, and you're not, they're only allowed to be eaten by Kohanim, so if you're not a Kohen and you eat it, so then the penalty is Misa B'dei Shemaim, death at the hands of heaven, which is not good. V'chomesh. And if you eat it accidentally, so then, that's just an accident, so you won't, it's a show gig, you won't pay with your life. But you'll have to pay an extra chomesh, which means if you ate four pieces of truma bread, you'll have to add a fifth piece, the chomesh, the fifth, and therefore chomesh comes out to being at 25%. Okay? Vasurin lazarim, and challah and truma are asur to be eaten by a zar. A zar means anyone who's not a kohen. Now, we just essentially said that a minute ago. Right? So this either is superfluous, b'chinam haya shenuya, as the Bartanura says, or, you know, which means like it taught it for nothing, or it could have an application. And the application is, there's a machlokas that really pervades Shas. If what's called, if a chatzi shiur is asur midoraisa, which means like this, the Torah has shiurim, measurements, amounts, for you know, there's minimum requirements to meet certain obligations or violate certain isurim. When it comes to eating, so the almost universally, well, when it comes to eating, a maisa achila in the Torah is the measurement is a kazayas, an olive's amount. That's halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. All the shiurim in the Torah are halachos l'moshe mi'sinai. All of them. You ever wonder how you know about bar mitzvah is 13 years old? Halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. And all the shiurim in the Torah are like that. Okay? So a maisa achila, an act of eating, demands that you eat a kazayas amount, an olive's amount, right? Also in bichtei achilas pras, in a certain amount of time. We discussed that in Pesachim a little bit. So the question is that applies to eating pork, that applies to eating chametz, that applies on Pesach, and so on, and it'll apply to eating challah. What happens if you eat half kazayas? So you're not liable for the Torah's penalty of eating a kazayas. So you won't get malchus or karis or misa v'dei shemaim, depending if we're talking about pig or chametz or truma. But does that mean that you did nothing actually wrong in the Torah? In other words, you didn't even eat it, you know, like off the hook altogether. Or really, the Torah already says you're really in violation of the Torah's love. You get an X in your chart up in heaven, but we're not going to punish you because you have to have some sort of, you know, minimum requirements. So that's a machlokas. That's a fascinating machlokas. If we look at the Isurim of the Torah and the shiurim that come with them, the measurements, if they're just for the sake of knowing when you get punished, or if they're altogether telling you that if you eat less than a shiur, midoraisa, you're not doing anything wrong at all. For sure, midorabanan, you can't eat any amount. Right. That's for sure true. And no one thinks you can eat pachas from a kazayas, less than a kazayas of you know, pork. That's obviously out. But the question might be only midorabanan. So, if you hold, like Rav Yochanan, that a chatzi shiur, that less than a kazayas, you're still chayav for midoraisa, so then there's a chedesh shiur of the Mishnah, which is telling you that even though you won't be chayav misa or chayav to pay a chomesh, because you didn't yet hit the point of eating a kazayas and be liable for the Torah's penalties, still, it's still asar to a zar, midoraisa, and you can't eat it. So that could be the point of this Mishnah.
That's Rav Yochanan.
Rav Yochanan's shita.
Is there another shita?
Yeah. Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish.
What does he say?
He says that a Chatishur is not Minatorah. It's Mutter Minatorah. Minatorah. Asar Minatorah, for sure. Okay, so that's a machlokas that is all over the place, but that's one possible explanation. Behem Nichse Kohen, the Chala and Truma are property of the Kohen. You know, the Kohen owns it and he can do what he wants with it. It's for, in other words, it's not like Maisa Sheni. We saw Maisa Sheni coins are mayor, and that's why Paskin. It's Mamon Gavoa. It's Hashem's property. And he just says you can do what you want with it. He says you're allowed to eat it, but it's mine. And therefore, it carries those stringencies. When it comes to Truma and Chala, it's Nichse Kohen, it's Mamon Kohen, it's the Kohen property. He can do whatever he pleases with it. Which means there's no problem with the Kohen selling his Truma or Chala and using it to buy land or to buy slaves or to buy even
in. Why did he use the word Nichse?
As opposed to Mamon? I don't know. I don't answer that question.
You can only sell it to a Kohen.
Well, that's actually Machlokas, to be honest. But true, only a Kohen could eat it. Yeah, I'll concede you that point. There is a discussion if you're allowed to have. You know, if you could have intermediaries, non-Kohen being intermediaries.
Kahati says why? Because she yachol l'machron the Kohen after relikmos b'dmeim komash yirtze.
Which means so that's mamon.
No, yeah.
But
that's
no, but if it's mamon, I know. But when you say the chasav, then you can see you can sell it. You want to make the point that you can sell it. Yeah, but sell.
Okay. Here. Yeah, nechassim is like a better. Yeah, but but then there's no. Maybe it's a better choice of words, but it's not. It's
teaching now that you can sell it.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Good. I hear that. So that's the. And you can even buy a behemah tamea, anything he wants there. Okay. Va'olin be'echar umea. So now don't. There's no tuma involved here. We're just talking about general demai. The issue. Meduma. The issue is when it comes to normal food, we say the shear generally 60 times heter to one part iser to annul its status. But when it comes to truma and chala, they're more strict. They raise it up to 100. There are other foods. Actually, we're coming to Orla in just a moment. And we've had shvias, so there are other kinds of isurim that are more common than 60 times. But the shear when it comes to truma is 100 times against. Actually, that's a machlokas. Remember, if you recall, machlokas tanaim, if it's 99 and a bit or 100 times against. But either way. The point is, if you have one part truma to 99 parts chulin, or one part chala to 99 parts chulin, so then it's all called meduma. It's a mixture that a non-Kohen can't eat, and he'll sell it to the Kohen for the value of what's there minus the piece that the Kohen is entitled to already. But if you have 100 times against it, so then that will permit it. Yeah, we'll permit it altogether. So if you have one part of truma falls into 100 parts of chulin, the whole thing, all 101 parts are edible. Maybe you have to, because of the mamonot issue, you'll have to set aside one to the kohen anyways, but there's no iser in eating any of it, because it's batel, the piece is batel. Okay. V'tu'unin rechitzas yadayim. Now, to deal with truma and chal, you need to wash your hands. The story here is that truma is susceptible to become tamei up to the point of becoming a shlishi. Shlish of the tumah, a third degree tumah source. Akiva asked this question, ostensibly it's minatorah. Ostensibly, the ability for truma to go to become a third degree tumah is ostensibly from the Torah. But normally, people don't get anywhere near there. People usually stop at Rishon. That's as far as they go. But the rabbi said that people's hands, since stam yudayim askanias, hands are all going over the place, and they're dirty. And so, the rabbi said people should wash their hands before they eat truma. End of story. And we, of course, a vestige of that is we wash our hands before eating bread. Same kind of washing to your wrists, gentlemen. So anytime your hands aren't known to be clean, they're automatically giving a status midrabanan of being a sheni of second degree tuma. And that would be the case if that's the case. So any sheni the tuma, even though the rest of your body may be tahor, your hands are still sheniim, second degree tuma. And if they touch truma, they'll be matamit, be shlishi, and render it inedible for a kohen. So, therefore, it needs tun and rechitzas yadayim. You have to wash your hands before you touch truma or chala. V'hair of shemesh. And also needs hair of shemesh, which means, literally means setting of the sun. Yeah, actually, well, don't be tricked. Halach l'mayis, we're talking about tseso kuchavim. This will recall you back to the first mishnah in brachas, that when a kohen becomes tamei, let's say tumas aguf, not just his hands, but let's say he was a zav, so now he's a zav is of a tumah, and he'll need to wait 7 days. At the end of 7 days, he can go to the mikvah. When he goes to the mikvah that day, so he goes to the mikvah during daylight hours. When he comes out of the mikvah, he's what's called a tevul yom, which means he toivel that day, I guess. You know, he's the day of his tefillah. And a tevul yom isn't yet fully tahor. He's got a status of a sheni, like the same as hands midrabanan. He's a tevul yom is always a sheni. Since he's always a sheni, he can never get in contact with truma because he'll be making a shlishi, which is aser, so he'll never be able to eat it. When, however, the sun, when he gets both, he has tevila on the day, and then he has hair of shemesh, you know, three stars at night, literally sun setting, but three stars at night, so then he'll now be able to eat truma once again. Okay? And the chiddush, well, that's the point, just to speak it out, that only applies to truma, and so on. If he was chayav a korban, the chiddush is, even if he's chayav a korban, he'd be allowed to eat it anyways. In other words, a zav, for example, has to bring a korban, if assuming he sold three times. So he'll have to bring a korban on the morning of the 8th day, right? But he can't, yeah, because when the three stars come out after the 7th day, the basement is closed for operation. He's still what's called a mechusar kippurim. He still like has a debt to pay. He lacks kapara. He lacks whatever kapara means in English. But that will make him, that a mechusar kippurim is a shlishi l'tumah, a third degree. So a mechusar kippurim is not allowed to touch kachem. So if he's a kohen, which he is if he's eating truma, so he can't yet eat sacrificial meat, can't eat kachem from that day, but he could eat truma. When he brings his korban in the morning, he'll become ois even mechusar kippurim, and now he can eat even kachem. Okay? Ve'ein nitalin min ha'tawar ala tami. Now, you're not allowed to, when you take truma or challah, remember, you can combine batches of different things together and take one truma on all of them. So we don't want you, however, to take truma or challah from a batch on one piece on behalf of another piece if one is tahor and one is tameh. The reason why is because, as we'll say in a second in the Mishnah, when you take truma or challah, you need to have what's called min ha-mukaf. Mukaf literally means like surrounded, you know, like hakafa, like when we dance around the Sefer Torah and so on. But it means idiomatically is that it has to be like basically close and touching, nearby, close together and bound together in a single batch. So we're afraid if one's tar, one's tame, that you put them too close together, you'll be matama one, what would be matama the other, and therefore the rabbis made a gezerah that you can't take truma on a tame on half a tar or vice versa, lest they come too close. And also, Mishnah continues on, element of mukaf, it has to be dafka from things that are mukaf, which we'll define in the next a little bit more, but for now means they have to be close together and considered like, you know, one batch, a collective batch. We'll define what makes something a batch or not in a bit. Okay? And also, umin hadavar hagamor. You only take truma and challah from a finished product. So truma, we know the chiyav kicks in only once you have gemar malacha, finishing the processing, which is meruach for grain, smoothing the pile. When it comes to challah, of course, it's when you knead the dough. So you should only take challah once the water and the flour have been kneaded, K-N-E-A-D, kneaded together. That's considered finished. Once you've kneaded it, it's considered finished. Yeah, well, for truma, it's already considered finished when you've finished winnowing it and you've stacked it and smoothing the pile for storage. But it's not edible yet. Remember, it's not edible. It's still, they're just kernels. You have to still grind them and eat and bake them and so. But like finished with the processing for now. So again, here, when we talk about hadavar hagamor, it means that you've actually mixed the water and flour together. Now, ha'omer, if a person says, kol garni truma, my whole threshing floor, my whole garden, my whole storage facility, all the produce I have here, it's all truma. Or if he says, v'chol itzasi challah, my whole entire dough is challah, lo amar klum, that's ineffective altogether. Ad shishar miktas, he has to leave a little bit over. The reason why is because it says it has to be rachis, it has to be the first part, maybe it has to be a second part also. And actually, the Yushalmi and Peah asks, if you remember that the Mishnah that we all know and love, that el devarim she'en lem shiur, these are things that haven't got a shiur. And so the way I explained it to avoid any complications was neither a minimum nor a maximum. So the Gemara asks, well, what's with truma? It also has no minimum and has no maximum. It says there actually is a maximum, you have to leave something over. So it's only 99.99% that you can leave.
You're giving something, the truma from something.
That's right.
Or you're not giving it
That's right. Takatid the first, the rachis. So therefore, if you say my entire challah is going to be challah, so then my entire bread for Shabbos will be halachala, the dough. It won't work at all because something has to be taken one from the other, like you said. Very good. And that's the end of that Mishnah.